And we're going to take our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what verse 7 says. The great apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong." When I am weak, then am I strong. I want to talk to you about playing hurt. Playing hurt. Do you realize the average career of a professional football player is 3.3 years? The reason why it's such a short period is because it's such a physical sport that many of them get hurt. There are 2,600 professional football players. 2,600 playing professional football. Over 400 of them this year will experience a serious injury. In 1968, the New York Jets had a quarterback by the name of Joe Namath. And Joe Namath came from the University of Alabama and went on to play football with the New York Jets. And they were going to play the Baltimore Colts for the Super Bowl. Now, before they were the Indianapolis Colts, they were the Baltimore Colts. And they was going to play the Baltimore Colts for the Super Bowl, and they were an 18-point underdog. Nobody thought they could win. And 3 days before the game, Joe Willie Namath said, "We will win the game. We will win the game. We will beat the Baltimore Colts." 3 days before the game. And ladies and gentlemen, they did. They won 16-7, just as Joe Willie Namath had predicted. But after the game, they said they noticed how badly Joe Namath's knees were wrapped. The doctors said he should have not played. Literally, on both knees, he had knee replacement surgery. Should have not played. And they said, "Joe, how do you feel?" And Joe said these words. He said, "When you win, nothing hurts. When you win, nothing hurts." I heard about a high school football player who ran off the field holding his hand. And he said to his coach, he said, "Coach, I think I broke my hand." And the coach said, "Get back in there until you know that you've broke your hand." Now, the Bible tells us this. Suffering is inevitable. Suffering is inevitable. The Bible says in Job 14:1, "Man that is born of woman." That's every one of us, folks. That's every one of us. "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Suffering is inevitable. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45 that the rain falls on the just and upon the unjust. In South Carolina this week, good people experienced a storm. And people whose behavior is not good also experienced a storm. Psalms 30:5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Here's what I want you to realize. Every one of us are going to experience pain in life. I've got problems. You've got problems. All God's children have got problems. But here's what I want you to understand. God wants us to keep on going even though we experience pain. God wants us to keep on playing, and God wants us to keep on praying. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The Bible tells us in Galatians 6 and 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we're going to reap if we faint not." The Bible says in Philippians 3 and 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." The Bible says in Luke 9 and 62, "No man having his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." God said there are going to be difficult times, but you got to keep on playing. Somebody said when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, when you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. You keep on playing. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to encourage you to keep playing when you're hurting physically. Keep playing when you're hurting physically. Now, the great Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever to live, other than Jesus, had a chronic illness. Somebody said it was his eyesight. He did have bad eyes. Somebody even said to me on one occasion that his thorn in the flesh was his mother-in-law. Now, there is no biblical basis that Paul was ever married. Now, Peter was. Peter was married. You remember Jesus healed his mother-in-law. That's why Peter denied him. But anyway, that's another story. But here's what I know. Paul had a chronic illness, and ladies and gentlemen, there was no sin in his life. And it was not because he didn't have enough faith to be healed. If you said, "Brother Benny, am I sick because there's sin in my life?" There couldn't anything be farther from the truth. Would I be healed if I just had enough faith? There's not anything that could be farther from the truth, ladies and gentlemen. This man, the greatest Christian who ever lived, the great Apostle Paul, he said three times, I cried out to the Lord. And I said, "God, please touch me. Please take away this thorn in the flesh. Please take it away." And God spoke back. And he said, "My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient. Because there's four things I want you to understand today, folks. I want you to understand that God's power works best in your weakness. God's power works best in your weakness. See, the scripture says, "When I'm weak, then I am strong." A paraphrase would be, in our weakness, God said more of me can be seen. In our weakness, more of God can be seen. I'm going to do something this week that I've done hundreds of times in my life. I'm going to a college to speak. And I never will forget the first time I was going to a college to speak. I was so scared. I was so nervous. because I knew there would be all those professors and English majors and grammar hammers in the mix. And then here I was coming. I spoke on one occasion, and a lady said, "Dr. Tate, I enjoyed your message." I said, "Thank you so much." She said, "But you made 13 grammatical errors." I said, "Sis, that's nothing. I had to give up half of my vocabulary when I got saved." Amen? But I was driving. I never will forget. I was driving to this school, and I was praying and talking to the Lord. And I said, "God, what am I going to tell Dr. Bottle Stopper? What am I going to tell these professors?" And God said to me, "You can't tell them anything. But I can tell them a whole lot through you. I can tell them a whole lot through you." Let me tell you something, folks. God's power works best in our weakness. God works best when we are weak. He is strong. When we decrease, He increases. Let me tell you something else. Productivity comes through pain. Productivity comes through pain. You want to be able to help some people in life, you're going to have to experience some pain in your life. Because productivity comes through pain. Purity comes through pain. Anything that makes you pray more is a blessing. Anything that makes you pray more is a blessing. I remember one of the most difficult times in my life. God gave me a song, and I'm not even a singer. But God gave me a song during one of the most difficult times in my life. He said, "God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to talk discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see." Purity comes through pain. Job said, "He knoweth the way that I will take. And when He's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold." He knows the way that I'm going to take. And when He's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. He said, "The pain, it's going to purify me, and I'm going to be better because of it." Power works best in your weakness. Productivity comes through your pain. Purity comes through pain. But let me tell you something else. Praise comes through pain. Praise comes through pain. In John chapter 11, they asked Jesus about a sick man. They said, "Jesus, he's sick. Did he sin or did his parents sin?" And Jesus said, "Neither has sinned. He's sick that God might be glorified." I'm saying to you, you may be hurting physically today. The report may not be good from the doctor. What do you recommend, Pastor Benny? Keep on playing. Keep on playing even though you're hurt. One of my favorite stories is a story about Fred Arbanus. Fred Arbanus was a big football player. And Fred Arbanus one time hit a guy and just hit him hard. And when Fred hit that guy hard, his glass eye popped out. And Fred Arbanus took that glass eye, he put it in water, and stuck it right back in. And Tommy Bale, the referee, said, "Fred, this is ridiculous. If you lost your other eye playing football, you wouldn't be able to see. What would you do then?" He said, "Tommy, I'd become a referee like you." What I'd say to you, if the report's not good, keep on playing. Keep playing when you're hurting physically. But I want to tell you something else. Keep playing when you're hurting emotionally. Keep playing when you're hurting emotionally. It may be failure. It may be guilt. It may be depression. It may be grief. All of those are parts of life. But I love what Proverbs 24 and 16 says. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times." A just man. "But he riseth up again." He riseth up again. You say, "Pastor Benny, I'm down." Folks, it's not sin to get down, but it's sin to stay down. It's sin to stay down. You say, but Pastor, I've messed up. But oh, let me tell you something. You can get right back up. You can get right back up and get in the game and keep on playing. 1 Samuel 16:1. I love what the Bible says. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil. Go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. He said, Samuel, you've mourned long enough for Saul. I've got another plan. I've got another plan. And folks, let me tell you something. You said, Pastor Benny, I've messed up. God's still got a plan. God's still got a purpose. You said, but you don't understand what I've done. No, 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 you don't understand. God still wants to use your life. God still wants you in the game. You said, but my heart's been torn out emotionally. I understand that. But God still wants to use you. I love the story about Roy Riggles. Roy Riggles played football for the University of California, and they were playing Georgia Tech on one occasion, and there was a fumble, and old Roy Riggles picked up the ball, and he started running in the wrong direction. And literally, he was running for a touchdown for the opposing team, and one of Roy's own players tackled him before he scored the touchdown. And it was halftime, and they went into the locker room, and the coach gave a speech, and then he said, guys, back on the field. The team who started the first half will start the second half. And old Roy stayed in the locker room. He said, Roy, get back on the field. He said, coach, I've embarrassed myself. I've embarrassed our team. I've embarrassed you. I've embarrassed the university. I'm not going back out. He said, Roy, let me tell you something. The game's just half over. The game's just half over. Get back out there. The game's just half over. Get back out there. And Roy got back out there, and he played the game of his life. You know what a lot of people need to realize? The game's just half over. The game's just half over. God's still got a plan for your life. God's still got a purpose for your life. God still wants to use you in a great capacity. Keep playing when you're hurting emotionally. Just get back in the game. Let me tell you something else. Keep playing when you're hurting relationally. Keep playing when you're hurting relationally. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about perhaps it's a child that's torn your heart out. I used to preach a message. This is before I had children. I preached a message, 10 surefire steps for raising the healthy, productive, godly child. And the altars would fill up. And then I had a child, and I changed the message to 3 things you might want to try. They may or may not work. You know, when they're small, they step on our feet. When they grow up, they step on our hearts. They step on our hearts. And you know, mothers are only as happy as their saddest child. You know, sometimes, folks, sometimes divorce happens. Sometimes betrayal happens. Sometimes friends forsake us. Sometimes even in church. Sometimes even in church, we get hurt. I've really never understood, folks. This is really a soft spot with me. I've never understood why, as churches, we shoot our wounded. I've never understood when a person needs love. You know when a person needs to be loved the most? It's when they deserve it the least. When they deserve it the least. And I don't understand why many times we want to shoot our wounded. We want to put them down. When what we ought to do is pick them up. Because they're hurting. See, you can't control what somebody does. You can't control what somebody does to you, but you can control what happens in you. And there's a verse that I've given to many people when they've been hurt relationally. They've been hurt relationally. This is the verse. It's in 1 Samuel 2 and 30. And I just pull out this part right here that says, "For them that honor me, I will honor. For them that honor me, I'll honor." You say, "Pastor Benny, but I've been done so wrong. What advice do you give me? Honor God. No matter what's happened, you honor God and God will honor you." You say, "But Pastor Benny, he walked out." You honor God and he'll honor you. You say, "But you don't understand." No, you don't understand. It's a principle, ladies and gentlemen. If you honor God, he'll honor you. And in the end, you will win. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation. But people can grow hopeless about situations. And I say to you, keep on playing when you're hurting relationally. Keep on playing. Stay in the game. God's still got a plan for your life. My mother, your pastor's mother, went through many relationships. I've officiated mom's wedding on three occasions. My mother went through some bad relationships. But when I was 19, she met a wonderful man. She met a wonderful man. And that man said to me, "I believe in you. I believe in you. And I want you to go to Bible college, and I'll pay your way through Bible college." Now listen to me closely. I wouldn't be here today if it was not for that man. But I wouldn't be here today if my mama had just bottled her hurt up and said, "I'm never going to be involved with anybody again." I'm glad, even though mama was hurt relationally, she stayed in the game. Because I wouldn't be here today. You say, "Well, I've never heard anybody preach like this, talk about it like this." Well, you've never heard good preaching. Anyway, you know. Let me tell you something. I say to you, keep playing. Keep playing, even though your heart's been torn out relationally. You say, "Pastor, how do I..." Give me some motivation for playing hurt. I'm going to give it to you. Number one, keep the proper focus. Keep the proper focus. See, there was a guy in the Bible that got away from the Lord. He left the Lord. His name was Peter. He denied the Lord. He walked away from the Lord. But Jesus went to him right where he was at. He messed up, but Jesus went right to him right where he was at. And look what the Bible says in John. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter..." Notice, folks, what he called him, Simon. His old name, remember? Jesus had changed his name, but he returned to his old name because he had returned to his old lifestyle. And Jesus was reminding him of that. "Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my lambs." There was a message. Jesus said, "Listen, Peter, do you love me? Not do you love sheep, but do you love me?" Let me tell you something. When you're hurting, you've got to keep your focus on the Lord. You've got to keep your focus on the Lord. Peter knew this well. Peter knew that as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he walked on the water. But when he got his eyes off on everything else, he sunk. Let me tell you something. Keep the proper focus. When you're hurting, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Not on people, not on circumstances, but on the Lord. Second of all, trust God. Just trust God. I read about a young couple. They were missionaries. Bob and Pam were missionaries in the Philippines. And while they were serving as missionaries in the Philippines, they had four children. She got an infection in her intestines from contaminated food. She went into a coma, and they treated her with powerful drugs. After treating her with these powerful drugs, they realized she was pregnant with a child. And the doctor said, "We've got to abort the child." She said, "No, I'm going to trust God. I don't understand." And by the way, if you've had an abortion, there's forgiveness in the Lord. But she said, "No, I'm not going to have an abortion. I'm going to trust God." Four times she almost lost the baby. But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. And she said to her husband, she said, "God's going to give me this baby. And I'm going to name him Timothy. And he's going to preach the gospel." And Tim Tebow has preached the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're hurting, keep the proper focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You trust God. And then there's one other thing. You realize God is working. When it seems like God is not working, God is working. In Matthew chapter 11, John's put in prison. And John said these words from the prison cell. "Is Jesus really the one? Or should we look for another? Go and ask Jesus." And Jesus said, "You tell John these words in verse 5. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them." What he was saying, you go back and you tell John, even though it seems like nothing's happening, I'm working. And folks, when it seems like heaven is as brass in your life, when it seems like nothing is happening, I want you to know God is working. God is working all things for your good and His glory. What is the motivation for playing hurt? You keep the proper focus. You trust God. You realize God is working. Let me tell you something. A couple verses I want to share with you, and I'm done. In Job 42 and 16, I want you to see something. It says, "After this, lived Job 140 years. Stick with me just a minute. Job lost his health. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his family. He lost it all. But I want you to see something. There is an after this. There is an after this. You say, "But Pastor, I buried a loved one. Pastor Benny, I battled an addiction. Pastor Benny, I've been through a divorce." After this. There is an after this in your life. You say, "But it's bad right now." I know it's bad right now. But thanks be unto God, there's an after this, and you're going to get on the other side of this. There's an after this. You say, "But you don't understand. understand what I've gone through emotionally. You don't understand what my family's gone through. I just want you to understand there's an after this, and you're going to get on the other side of this. There's another verse I want you to see. Glory be to God. And Noah lived after the flood. You said, Pastor Ben, boy, I've been through a flood. It's come at me, Pastor Benny. I've been drowning. I've been drowning. But let me tell you something. There's an after the flood. There's an after the flood for you. There's no matter what's been thrown at you, thanks be unto God, there's an after the flood. Somebody said, I've dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn, but I've realized enough of my dreams to make me want to dream on. I've prayed many prayers when no answer came. I've waited patient and long, but answers have come to enough of my prayers to keep me praying on. I've trusted many friends who failed me, who left me to weep alone, but I've found enough of my friends true blue to keep me trusting on. I've sown many seeds that fell by the way for the birds to feed upon, but I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to keep me sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without a song, but I've supped enough nectar from the rose of life to make me want to live on. Let me tell you something, folks. I made up my mind that I'm not going to let my friends stop me. I'm not going to let my failure stop me. I'm not going to let my frustration stop me. I'm not going to let my finances stop me. I'm not going to let my flesh stop me. I'm not going to let my foes stop me. I've started with Jesus. There's been some hurt, but I'm going to keep on playing hurt. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way where the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Can we give him praise? He merits praise. Oh, we can do better than that. Oh, we can do better than that. Oh, we can do better than that. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. We're going to keep on playing. We're going to keep on praying. We're not going to quit. We've started out with Jesus, and we're going through. Amen? We're going through.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.